listening to Pirate Radio Podcast.
Cast out to sea.
Hey, Adrian, you old sea dog.
What?
I think it's time to listen to some music.
Hello and welcome to Pirate Radio Podcast. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Ali.
This is Listen to This, part one of some amount of numbers.
Part one of two?
Yeah, I guess that would be a smart way to say it.
Yeah,
part one of two. Yeah. And this week we are doing an album that I was given by Ali.
Oh, yes.
By a band dear to his heart called Tame Impala.
And this is just for reference. This is like one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now we know.
All right. So now let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Screw Ollie's favorite album.
Listen to Pirate Radio Podcast. But yeah, so this album is Lonerism.
Yes.
What's the name of it?
Yes, that's the name. It was released in 2012.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Great year.
It was a great year.
Yeah, so it's the second album?
It's the second album, yeah. Oh, yeah. Technically, if you count the EP and then Inner Speaker, it's the third, but like...
Second
LP, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right. It's definitely interesting. Like, it's definitely like... coming to its own. I can see why this is, you know, your favorite.
It's arguably the peak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going through it chronologically at this point. Yeah. I don't know what what's happening.
I don't know what comes next. Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, I probably have listened to it.
You have.
Yeah. But, oh man, so many of these songs. I'm like, oh, so that's cool. so much. Much like last time you gave me a Tame Impala album.
This is going to happen until I get to the end of their discography.
But anyway, not to bash around the bush? That's not a saying.
Bash around the bush. I mean, it should be. That sounds
really like a saying, and that's good enough for me. All right. The first song is called Be Above It. Above it. Oh man, I've been on a roller coaster with this song. First time I listened to it, I was like, what the fuck's happening? Second time I listened to it, I'm like, you know what? All right, I can see what's happening here. I think I'm on like this. I'm like not sure how, like, cuz it's very like unique. And I don't know if I like that or hate that.
It's an interesting
dichotomy. But like, I really like it for what it is,
concept in a sense.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is to me like the first inkling that like Kevin Parker wants to do like really hypnotic, like just like, because this kind of turns into Let It Happen later on down the track, where he's just doing that sort of like.
I mean, geez, it definitely like went out and like what new sounds can we make and shit.
Cause
it's very interesting that like this album, oh man, it's a step up from the one before.
It really is. Yeah.
As much as I did actually go back and listen to a couple of songs with the Inner Speaker. And like, like, I think I almost appreciate that album more just for, like how lo-fi it is. I really quite like that. Or, like, especially after, like, listening through this one. It's just,
going
like...
Going back,
you kind of see...
You appreciate it.
Difference.
That's the weird thing about Tame Impala is that there's a context involved all the time. Like, you have to, it's just about his journey, and like, you get to, you're right. I appreciated that album more having listened to this
because I was like, not first. Because like this is bad, like, it's weird. It's weird how
it's a strange balance,
strange balance. But like, I mean, this is like, like it's an odd song to start on.
Yeah, I always thought that.
Like, it's talk about a bit of a like a filter of like people trying to listen to your music. Like, you need to get rid of like a lot of like just people who are like, what, the top, what, it's in the top, what, let's go buy it.
I didn't like that at all.
He's gotta be above what?
Like, I get it. Like, I get
like,
it.
Like, what's he gotta be above of?
Like, he told me so many times. Whatever.
Okay.
Jesus. All right. Fine. Be above it then.
Jesus. Yeah, so, I mean...
But like, it's a bold move. It's bold. To, like,
and that's
like that.
I think, like, that's why I'm at war with myself. Of, like, I'm at one side of the extremes. I really like it or I really don't, and I don't know which one it is. I'll get back to you
Seesaw.
On it. Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is definitely, like, a... I don't know. I think maybe the reason he picked this as the first track is because it does kind of encapsulate, at least in a lyrical sense as well, like... everything that this album is. I feel like Lonerism, like he said once,
The lyrics in this one compared to the last album as well. Not to keep, like, I'm gonna, like, not continually bring up the album before. It's just like...
No, it's good to compare.
I mean, well, you know, it's like, that was what was before, and this is, you know, his late led up to this. But, yeah, the lyrics are way better.
Yeah. No, the lyrics in this, well, they seem to be a lot more personal.
Yeah. It's like he kind of, he got a bit braver. Mm. I mean, in some ways, he wasn't as brave. Like, it was, you know, what he did last time. Like, terms of, like, his singing and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an interesting start. But that we should move on to the next song.
We should.
Not stay too long on Be Above It.
There's not much to be above it.
No, there isn't. And the next one is, hopefully I pronounced this correctly, Endor's Toy? Toi?
I think it's Endor's Toi, which
means... Oh, yeah, because he was...
I always thought it was Toy too.
He's in France.
France. And this I think this means falling asleep. Endor's Toi.
Like that moment was like, it sucks back.
Yeah. Oh, wait, everything goes silent for just a moment. Yeah.
I love that in songs so much. And when that came on, I'm like, thank you, Kevin.
I knew you'd like that. Oh, man, yeah, I really did. Yeah.
Like,
and it's a good riff. It's a really good riff.
I really like the song. I've heard it before, and I've never been like, that's really cool. Yeah. But like, listening to it, like, I don't know.
Do you know why that is, song, though? Yeah. Do you know why that is? And why? This is something that, like, Kevin said before as well, is that he made Lonerism for people to listen through headphones.
Oh.
And I think when you listen to... Because I had that kind of similarly.
Makes
like,
sense with the title.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's just to you. Like, the when I first listened to Tame Impala, it was all, like, subconsciously, like, at parties and things. And then I was like, ooh, what is this? Like, because I remembered the sounds and things.
Yeah, like I probably just walked away most of the time after it was just like, oh, just got a guy going...
Yeah, but it like it almost just it demands that you have it in your ears, like in your ear holes.
Well,
in order to like see all the layers and hear it all,
you know, similar to, like that Hendrix album. But like Endor's Toi.
Endor's Toi.
I wouldn't fall asleep to that. That's good. It's got a good beat to it.
Do you know what I think it's about?
What?
Because I'm just looking at the lyrics, and this is honestly like doing this pod was the first time I was properly looking into the lyrics because I've like sort of figured out some things and others not quite so much.
Happy
but this is like What was it? Soothing repeat. I look down at my feet. It's a hypnotist's arm and it works like a charm. Real world, surreal life. Do or die. There is time. Go to sleep. You'll be fine. In the morning, you'll find real life was such a grind. Shit. Yeah, like it feels like, because I think he, what, like the soothing repeat thing, he said before that what he does is he makes like a beat, like an 8-bar beat, and then just listens to it and like gets really stoned.
That's a good process.
Yeah, seems to be a lot of very common process. But like he just gets really stoned and listens to these like beat over and over again, and then he said that he falls asleep to it. And he actually said that this happened to him on the day before his house burnt down in California. Did you know about this story?
No.
Just because it relates to this. So he apparently was like working on this new album that he's working on, and he was like getting really stoned by himself, like drinking and stuff, and just listening to this beat like on repeat, like trying to like figure out a melody. And then he fell asleep. And it was like 3 a.m. when he fell asleep or something, he said. And then when he woke up the next morning, there was like sirens and things outside. And it was like text messages from his manager being like, Malibu's burning, you need to leave. And he's like, shit. Like, he was groggy and like hungover and stuff. And like, you know, and apparently all of his equipment was in this new rented house that he'd gotten in Malibu. Like, you know, he rented out this house and it was like, he was going to make his album there. And it was really beautiful. Like, he's got like an Instagram photo with it. But then, yeah, he had to like make a split decision and figure out what he's going to take. So he took his guitar. I can't remember exactly what guitar it is, but it's the one that Paul McCartney had. He took his guitar.
Paul? I'm going to go out on the limb and guess that.
I think that's it. But he took that and he took his laptop, and I think he took... No, that was it. He just took his laptop, which had his album on it, and the guitar. And then his fucking house burnt down.
Seriously? Really?
It actually burnt down.
I didn't think it would... Actually burnt down.
Dude, no, apparently he almost died because like he
what?
Yeah, he was sleeping through all those text messages, phone calls. He almost died because he got so drunk and high and listened to his own beat to sleep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, good.
I'm really happy that he
did. Yeah, good dodge.
It's in the middle of an album, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, all right.
So I just found that funny, reading those lyrics, soothing repeat, you know, look down at my feet and the whole falling asleep, like...
Yeah.
Made a lot of sense.
I think I was wrong with that Les Paul. I think I just came up with a Les Paul
because Les his name. His and name, I'm like, yes.
His name was Paul.
That's why I got the guitar, you know, because it says Paul and I'm Paul.
I named it after myself.
Les Paul.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to go through the effort to look it up.
Rickenbacker. I think it's a Rickenbacker.
That sounds right.
Rickenbacker. Hey, I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah,
we're just saying words now at this point. All right. Well, also, we should be talking about team.
Let's get back to
old Kevo. That's a bit of a banger there. Enjoyed that song.
Mm.
Now let's move on to track number 3, which is called Apocalypse Dreams. Is that the lyric?
Yeah. Looks the same to everyone else.
No, that one, like, that... Oh, man. The son of a bitch did it again. Two songs in a row. We did the fucking thing
this,
I like with
this time, this
pull
time
it all
like,
back.
This time even more so. Like, it feels turns into a bubble or something.
Yeah, that one's another catchy one. I think I prefer Endo's Trois or however you
really?
Pronounce it. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think so. I think it's just I like, you know me.
You like the riff, yeah. Yeah. Well, this one actually is my favorite song of all time.
Oh, okay.
There's just something about
it. Well, I like the one before it more.
I don't know about this one.
No, No. It's a great song. I'm not saying.
No, I think there's a like especially when you see this song live, like they do this like really weird, slowed down thing.
It is far larger than End of Soir and Beloved and everything before it. But like I can see why it's your favorite. You can definitely see why it's favorite. And also like how much he's like. Like he still uses a lot of guitar and stuff, and he did a lot in a speaker. But here you can see him bringing like synth and stuff like crazy. And I'm like, oh, no wonder Ali loves this album.
Yeah, it's like this is where he achieved that balance between synth and guitar and bass.
Yeah, it's a good balance.
It's a really good balance.
You never really I felt its presence obviously, but it never like overtook it or anything.
Yeah, apparently he did it experimentally because he wanted to make like he just bought like a synth and then. Started doing this shit.
So what is your favorite?
There's something about the sound. I don't know. When I first listened to it, there was something kind of like that ending riff. That like there's something about that sound that like reminds me of like something from a past life or something. Like there's something about
something like deep,
something really deep. Like gets struck every time I hear it. I can
feel a certain like. Yeah, no, like, I can see that.
Because there's something, I don't know, it's just that outro just, like, it hypnotizes me or something. Like, it puts me into a trance that reminds me of, like, my childhood or, like, something. I don't know, there's something from my childhood that, like, gets brought up with this song.
All right.
But also, I found it really synchronistic when I first listened to it, because, it was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this thing, like, in the back of everyone's minds of... Oh, the Mayan calendar ends on the 21st of December.
Apocalypse dreams.
Yeah. So it was always, and this is when I first started taking acid, and like, I had acid on that night as well. So this was really like, it really fucking.
There were definite many spots in this album where I'm like, I could, lots of drugs would help.
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally. This is an album made for you.
Yeah.
Drugs and your headphones.
Those three things.
Yeah.
But no, like, I mean, like, this is, like, a 6 minute long song, and that's the thing with, like, this album, which, like, last album, a lot of the songs kind of just, like, kind of got in a groove and stayed there.
Yeah.
This album, he keeps it interesting throughout. They're far more, like, I wouldn't say entertaining song, I guess they are, but, like,
but this moment,
more happening, it keeps you more on your toes in terms of, like, if it gets in the groove, it does.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's like, all right, and now this.
It knows when to end.
Yeah,
it knows when to end.
And
change into something.
And this song is one of those as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Keeps the interest, yeah.
Like, it's 6 minutes. It's basically a 6 minute long song. It doesn't feel 6 minutes.
No, it doesn't.
So, there you go.
Hooray!
Ollie's favorite song.
My favorite song is almost 6 minutes, but it doesn't feel like it.
I prefer End of Spot.
It's been noted, Adrian.
Hey, I might change my mind later. All right. But anyway, we should probably move on, as much as you like that, to the next song, which is called Mind Mischief. Like, I just have one note on this song, and it's literally the word drums.
Yeah, they're really juicy.
Yeah, they're juicy.
They really are. I thought you'd like the drums on this. Yeah. It's and it's also, because I think he's very influenced, like, from the Bonham, like, roll, like, style, you know, that, like,
boom, 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 which I enjoy.
Big fan of,
But, like, I don't know, like, I mean... So many of these songs, like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I know you, but like, I know all these songs.
Yeah, it's my bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
But, I've never really appreciated them, so I guess this is where I do that. But like,
I feel like this is what this podcast is for as well.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, we're both appreciating, like, the music that, like, We all want others to hear.
No, but like, yeah, I mean, drums, great. I mean, shit.
The bass line in this is also quite groovy. Like,
yeah. Doo-doo. Yeah. Doo-doo. Like, this is really, it's just distinctive. Like, I don't know. Well, what else to say about it?
But there's a bit, I was actually wondering if there's a bit later on where it kind of goes like out into space for a bit. Like, it's like, doo-doo-wee. Oh, my mischief in my mind. Yeah, that bit, it kind of goes out into space.
Or we could try to find it.
Like, instead of my, like, crude,
we're just going to fucking...
Allow me, everybody.
It's here. Play. Okay, that went to space. I see what you mean.
Right,
there.
Like
there was some tasty guitar in there too.
Yeah, there was a little tasty flourish of the guitar.
Yeah. Oh man, one of the things throughout this, I actually saw Kevin Parker being interviewed about this. Mm. Years after this album came out.
Yeah.
Might even been recently. I'm not too sure, but yeah. I didn't see the date. But he was saying if you could change one thing about this album.
Mm.
He would bring all the lyrics
out,
forward,
because
he was still kind of shy when he was cutting
it.
He pushed a lot of the lyrics back into the kind of mix, so people would have to go look it up. And when I heard him say that, I'm like, "You did that on purpose? You son of a bitch!"
Yeah. This cunt's insecure. But I think if here's the thing though, right? I'm pretty sure I remember that it's some Triple J interview or something with him. Because, they ask him, what would you change? And he's like, you're asking, that's a dangerous question.
Yeah, that's literally the one it's a dangerous question.
Because he's got the mix there. Yeah. And the thing is, right?
Because he can.
He can. And, he was saying once upon a time that, just recently he reflected on this album again. And he was saying that, the reason it sounds the way it sounds is because no one ever told him how to record instruments. So it's kind of a little washed out because of that. Because he was stubborn enough to be like, I'll fucking just do it. I don't know. I don't know what a remaster of this album would sound like. Because it on this this album is kind of a little flat, in terms of the trebliness and stuff.
The parts of this album that you can understand the lyrics tend to be the parts that became huge hits.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was a silly boy.
I'm just making that point.
But also, there were, it's all, it is niche still.
To some extent. Well, of course, to a certain degree, Be Above It's never going to be, played at the played at the halftime at the Super Bowl or something. It's,
everyone's chanting,
Be Above It.
Jesus, that's scary.
But yeah, anyway, we should move on from my mischief on to the next song,
sure.
Which is called Music to Walk Home By.
I've walked home to this song.
Well, I would hope so.
Many a time.
It's an interesting song. Maybe I don't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it maybe as much as Mind Mischief or Endostoir or I guess Apocalypse Dreams.
Mm.
It's a really interesting song. From that interview that I saw, it's Kevin Parker's favorite song.
Yeah, this album. Yeah, it's his flagship song.
That's the term he said. Okay, in terms of the theme of it, which is, I guess, being a loner in one way.
Well, actually, like, just looking at the lyrics today, I've realized, like, you know, like, some of them I obviously knew, but some of them, like, really, like, crystallizing it now. This song is about his now wife, Sophie. Ooh. Like, it's when they were, like, in high school together, she, you know, he fancied her, but she didn't really like him.
No.
And so I'm just realizing now, like, all of this is about, like, memories that he has of her. Like, this is, like, you know, this is about him being, like, telling her that he loves her or something.
Yeah.
And then being like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm just going to go home.
Seriously?
I'm like, I totally...
Wow, that's funny.
Because, yeah, all of his, like a lot of his, yeah. like, music seems to be about, like, his, you know, it seemed like he was rejected or something, and, like, but, yeah, I'm just, like, in so many ways, I'm trying to be myself, like, well, it's getting late, I better go, I made it this far as I know. a beautiful girl is wasting my life. Jeez, Kevin. You got really personal. I think that's what I really appreciate about
this.
I think,
like, that comes through even if you, like, somehow, even if you don't really know what he's saying.
Yeah, you latch onto certain things that he said that, like, ring true. Like, I feel there's something universal about, like, being able to, like, you know, actually be vulnerable to that point. Like,
I mean, the song that comes up a couple after this song is, like, it's encompassed, it's, like, probably, like, one of the songs that holds it, like, describes a feeling for me, which no other song does, you know? I'm talking about feels like we only go backwards, not to jump forward too much.
Yeah.
It's a very distinct feeling that, like, that I've only heard from this band. But,
a lot of people seem to have that with lonerism. There's something in there that, like, is, like, yeah, it's really, really...
Kind of latches onto...
Yeah, like, and actually,
a personal,
like,
feeling.
It just, yeah, exactly. It's...
But not to jump too far. But yeah, no, Music to Walk Home By, like, it gets very synthy. Does it?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, like, I can deal. It's good.
You're more into your guitar.
You know what. Like, it's good.
It's all good, man.
But, like, just talking about how, like, personal and stuff, like, the next song, track 6, which is called Why Won't They Talk To Me? Jeez, that's an embarrassing title by itself.
I know.
So,
like, you have to be really, like...
Yeah.
You're really exposing yourself here, Kevin.
Yeah, but no, like, that's how you get real good art.
That's true, yeah. Why won't they talk to me?
No, like, man, no, like, Why Won't They Talk To Me? It's you know, got a lot of energy, kind of bops forward.
And it's very, very personal.
Yeah, very personal again. Like, I don't know, probably doesn't, like, it's no mind mischief. But, but, you know, like, I don't know, this album's, like, it's just, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, I don't hate any of these songs.
Each song seems to have something different to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's a very eclectic like mix.
Yeah, but somehow it still has, like, a type of, like, continuity. Like,
it's a solid piece. Probably just, you know, once again, from the fact that it's coming from, you know, Kevin Parker.
Yeah,
like a singular voice kind of thing. I mean, obviously it was co-written by Jay Watson and stuff, but
There's only, like, I'm not sure how much that is. He helped write a bit of Elephant, I think, yeah. Jay Watson, and, like, that's basically it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, no, like, just keeps on taming parlouring on, pretty much.
This song, I remember, like. This song's very comforting, like, because it's something that kind of, I remember listening to this album was such a, like, relief. Because as someone who's, like, introverted and doesn't really gel with the idea of, like, constantly being social. You know, for a long time living, like, when I first heard this album, you know, I was, like, frequenting this, like, share house. And it was, like, 8 to 10 people in that house all the time. You know this, Adrian. Yes, you also came to this house.
I saw that thing.
That thing. But yeah, like, you know, and obviously everyone was so social all the time there because everyone was just around each other constantly. And I remember, like, at the time, I was like, this is, like, too much for me. Like, this drains my energy. Yeah. Like, I need some time alone. And then it was so synchronistic to, like, be introduced to this album in that house because it was, like, such a, like, comfort. It was like, oh, shit, like, other people also can feel like this. You don't always have to fucking, like, you know, be ready and energized to, like, you know, be with other people. And this song, like, is, you know, like, obviously it's sort of it's a bit of a whine and a moan from Kevin for a bit of it, because, and it seems like it's maybe from something from, like, high school or something. Destined to be lonely old me, whoopsie-daisy.
I have a feeling Kevin's got some, yeah, he's definitely, part of his brain seems stuck in, like, high school.
Or at least it was during this
point. At least it was during this point, yeah, yeah.
But I do, what I love about this song is that it changes at the end. It's like, but I don't even care about it anyway, wouldn't listen to a word any of them say. They just talk about themselves all day. One day I'll be a star and they'll be sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, like, that did actually happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, ballsy.
Ballsy, yeah. Like, cause
but this, if you can follow through.
He followed through. He did.
Amazing claim.
He did. He's now playing, like, $750,000 shows. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Shit. And he wrote this, like, apparently when this was coming out, like, because he went through the breakup with Melody around the time that he was, like, finishing this album.
Yeah.
And was, like, moving back from France to Perth and, like, hated this album, basically. Like, or at least was just, like, didn't hear anything in it and thought it was just a dud.
Yeah, well, like, you were saying on that interview where, like the day it came out in Australia, he just didn't give a shit.
He didn't give a shit, yeah. No. And it's because he was going through some, like, you know, yeah, fucked up, like, heartbreak or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting because, like, he poured his heart and soul into something that in the end he didn't even care about its release.
And it, like and to this day, you would say it's his best album?
I would say it's his best, yeah, album. And it's also, like, it was his breakthrough in so many ways. Like, people, yeah, noticed him after this one. Like,
yeah.
So, it's interesting.
Thinking back, I can remember, like, the car ads that Elephant was on.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, that's, and that money that he made from that, he bought a house.
Bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? If you can afford in today's climate.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, should we move on?
Yeah, we should. Sorry, I let that swing for a second.
It's a good end point.
Alright, I wish I could think of a funny pun to come up with to introduce this title, because I feel like that's possible.
Hey, what's that song?
But I won't, because the next song is called Feels Like We Only Go Backwards.
Yes. It's got a good lead in from the last song, too.
This song was definitely not written by a kangaroo. Because they can't go backwards. Great song. Yeah. I mean, this is the Tame Impala song for me.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, knew about this far before, like, I knew what his name was or anything, yeah, or anything. But yeah, like, this song, like, it encapsulates a feeling for me, which is like, like that feeling. I mean, it's laid out quite, like, it's not subtle.
Mm.
Like, or feeling like you're always going backwards, but you want to go ahead and, like, achieve things, but you just keep going back. Like, yeah, that is so relatable on so many levels.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just feels like that too, and like the song itself carries that kind of theme as well.
Yeah, because it just keeps going back to the kind same of just thing, like, and like
and it's kind of just like, you know,
even though it feels like
it feels like a grind driving. In a way where it's just like one, you know, like it's...
And the bridge, even though like it's like a different thing, almost sounds like it's just taking us back to the start. Like,
yeah, like it's like mononymous in a like not a boring way in terms of the song, but like it carries that vibe for me. But like. No, I really like this song. This like,
There's a reason why it's the
song. I mean, I don't put it on a lot and stuff because I don't need to. It's just out in the world. You just hear it. But like, hear
it. When it comes on, it's like, oh, there it is.
But yeah, I mean, no, but it's a great song. I mean, and for me, this is the Tame Impala song. So yeah.
No, and it was always the Tame Impala song too. This and Elephant were the songs that sort of really...
Those were the two big
broke
ones.
Through, yeah. And there were, like, you know, I remember like in the year... Like early 2013, when the Triple J was doing its Hottest 100 and stuff, like, you know, these, like, those two songs dominated then as well. And it really, I remember that time very vividly. But this song in particular, bit of fun fact here, when he, so that take, that vocal take is his first take. He does a lot of takes for a lot of songs usually, apparently. You've heard about this story.
Well, I've literally listened to the interview.
This is the interview.
Are you talking about the fact that like, they accidentally recorded it where, like, if it was listened and on Apple, like, stuff or something
It's like
that,
some, like, off it would, phase
it would,
or
Yeah, it yeah. would have turned the song into, an like, instrumental. an instrumental for those people, and they wouldn't know.
That, yeah, they'd be like, there's no
It would have been like that. Oh, wait, no. I was about to say a story that we ordered a thing that, like, remember me and Oxley on the earphones?
Yeah.
But that's not an episode that we haven't put out.
I know.
Fuck.
Oh, shit.
But, like, no, that's hilarious. Yeah, like.
So you knew about the story about, like, it's. Oh. So imagine that. Like, that's all it took was just, like, that one mistake.
Yeah.
Because you. Well, and this goes to show, like, how sort of haphazard his production always was.
Well, just
his
laptop
and like, you know, his bedroom, like, just fucking, and then but like
finding his own way, I guess.
Yeah, and then it's like it feels like actually has a demo version on SoundCloud that he put up a long time ago, and all it is like an iPhone recording of when he figured out the chord progression, and then as he's playing the chord progression, he's like singing like lyrics that fit with it. And it's like, it feels like we, I only go, it's like, I only go, and then it's like, and then he's kind of just like, like, and you can hear like him
it's that moment in the music biopic where everyone stops, like, stops washing the dish and like looks across.
What's that? That there is the new hit in the radio, that is. No, it is though. Like,
but it would be Perth.
Oh, wow.
Fuck. Oi, hey, that's pretty good, eh?
Oi, Kev, that's really good, eh?
What a banger, eh?
Fucking, like, Triple J would probably froth over that one, eh? That's really fucking good. Oh, no,
can't,
but, like,
can't wait.
You actually hear it. You hear that idea develop, and, like, he changes it as he's doing it. It's really interesting. Maybe we'll put up a link to that in SoundCloud, if he's kept it there and he hasn't deleted it.
Maybe. All right. Next song, track number 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Keep On Lying. Interesting. Continues to be interesting. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the random talking in the background. I get it might help some thematic thing or tell some story nice, but I don't know.
Like,
I find it distracting. I like, I'm just like what are they saying?
Adrian, you need to take some acid and listen to that song. It fucks with your head.
I'm sure it does. Like, we'll just get a group of people to stand around and just start chatting. Like,
no, but that's it. No, it's actually not like, it's not like that. You have to take acid to appreciate that song. It's more like, I feel like that song is actually like.
Well, that's surprising because that's literally what you just said.
That is what I said. I know, but it's more like I'm actually going back on that, and it's that song actually encapsulates what it's like to be like peaking on acid and like watching a whole bunch of people. There's something like the way that like the people are sort of like reverbed and stuff, and like all the instruments. I don't know if you noticed, but like they all have like their moments to solo in that song. Like,
yeah.
Each like instrument comes in and then goes out for a bit, and then another instrument takes its place. Like, there's something about that that sounds very psychedelic. Like,
I mean, I'm sure. Like this album is, you know, very psychedelic.
No, but like even beyond like the way when we talk about psychedelic as being like a musical style, it's like that song in particular actually like it's using psychedelic tropes like musically, but it sounds like what it sounds like when you have psychedelics. If that makes sense.
I mean, isn't that the birth of like psychedelia?
Kind of, but not like, I don't know. I feel like it turned into its own thing. Like it's had like tropes and like certain characteristics that like,
okay,
you know, oh, you put like echo on something and it's psychedelic, man. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Whereas that like something about the way that everything sort of layers on top of each other and like the laughing is so manic. And it sort of like rings out like that. That's really psychedelic.
Okay, all right.
I'm telling you.
I believe you. I believe you fully. I'm just saying, distracting.
Sure. Okay.
I'm trying to listen to your song, Kevin.
Excuse me, guys. Can you keep it down in here? This guy's put on a track, right?
That's the thing, like I feel like I'm kind of just trundling through some of these songs, but the quality is high throughout this album. So,
anyway, there's almost like too much to sort of like comment on.
Yeah, you know that there are mountains that are nearly as big as Everest, but you get ignored. You know, that stuff. All right, does that make sense?
I don't know. I'm trying to work it out. It does make sense.
In terms of like we talked about, like, you know, feels like we only go back with a bunch, but then not much on keeps on.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, me and my analogies. The next song is another one of the hit songs from this album. The one which got old Kevo a nice new pad.
Nice new pad.
This song is called Elephant. Haven't heard this song, I don't know where you've been. Welcome back. You've evidently been stuck somewhere for a lot of years.
You should probably listen to this album. A lot of people like this one.
Once again, like you had to get like coaxed into putting this on or something, or like,
yeah,
no, not coaxed, but like more like he had this song for ages, or the riff, and he got talked into putting it on the album, because it contrasts well with a lot of the other songs here.
Yeah, it does.
In a way, which if there wasn't a song like Elephant on this album, I wouldn't, like, it takes it to the next level.
Exactly. It's sort of like it was needed.
It was needed. It was
really needed.
It was like the cherry, you know, like
the cherry. Yeah, and rightfully so. It feels like. We only go backwards. It feels like the other guys, like the other Perth guys, because they all like jammed for so long before all this stuff, and it just feels like something that they, the riff that they came up with, and they convinced him to put it on there. But obviously it makes sense why Jay Watson's like credited as helping him write the lyrics to this one, because he's clearly like, well, this is not just mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is like. I'm so glad they did.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm sure he's glad he's did too.
The funny thing is, though, is that... He's did. let's all hope he's did. The funny thing is that this happened again in the next album. You know, The Less I Know, The Better. Like,
oh,
the,
yeah, that song.
That song, like, again, had its own, like, thing where people like, oh, Tempo, The Less I Know, The Better. That's the only song I know from them.
Yeah, you're always going
to
get those.
Right, and, like, Kevin didn't want to put that on Currents either. He was like, nah, it doesn't sound like Tame Impala. And then his girlfriend convinced him to leave it on because he was about to donate it to Mark Ronson. He was like, I'll give it to Mark. And she's like, you're a dumbass if you give it to Mark.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but again,
he's good at coming up with shit, but not good at like picking which one's gonna...
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't know. Like I'm sure it must be difficult to know when a song works and
yeah,
when it doesn't.
Yeah, you can overhear a song like too much.
Yeah. And plus, you know, like, you don't know what everyone else wants
to
hear.
Yeah, you don't know what everyone else wants
to hear.
You just
want to make shit that you want to hear.
Exactly.
Like, you can make something and people will be like, I love it. You're like,
Really? Like, really? Why?
I'm sure that there's an element of that.
I'm sure, yeah.
But, I don't know, maybe it's just like, because like, it's very simple. It's like, it's choppy. But like, that's what I like about it. So, yeah anyway.
And it's got a really like, if you listen to the live version, what they've done, because they have fun with this now. During one of the bits, like, you know, like where it stops near the end of the track and they go into this, like, this drum bit, like, doom, 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 like just this big fill bit. They really extend that out in the live set. Or, and actually, no, they used to. Now what they do is they do this, like, disco beat.
Okay.
It just turns into disco for like a second.
Why not?
It's really weird.
But to move on from the big hit that was Elephant onto the next track, which is track 10, called She Just Won't Believe Me, which is just like 57 seconds long. It's a short little, I'll give you a little taste of it here. But she just won't believe me. She just won't believe me. If I played too much more, then you would have heard a majority of the song.
Yeah.
I like the idea of if you ever like, if you get in a lot of arguments with women. just to turn away and just start playing this whilst like looking out a window or something.
Oh my god!
Won't believe me.
Oh my god, Adrian, why have I? Why did I never do that?
I don't know. That's the first thing that came to my head. I'm like, that would be so funny.
I wonder how that would go in an argument too. Like, what would happen?
She'd be like, "What are you? This too much of a lead up on the synth."
Yeah.
Like if there was a quicker.
No, but that's what you need. Like, you need that point where.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like...
where you could like just get a little last little points and just.
And then you blast it. Like...
Time for you to walk away to the window.
Yeah. And then you just stand there like Darth Vader, like looking out.
She just won't.
And it's just a small song. It's just like a bit.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's brilliant. I hope someone does that.
Anyway, I mean, as a thing, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I would say it's catchy.
It's definitely a filler track.
Yeah, a bit of a filler one. I mean,
I have listened to this song after arguments before. And it again, it's comforting.
Yeah. It's like,
she
won't.
Doesn't believe me. I've never been deceiving. What is
God
this?
God damn
shit?
It.
She just won't fucking believe me.
You get me, Kevin.
At least I've got you. Let me replay that track.
Alright, but yeah, it's a short song, so we don't have to stay on it for too long.
On,
Track 11 is, he could use to be more efficient with his titles. This is a long fucking title.
This is a long title.
If you have iTunes, you definitely don't know what's at the end of it because it's like all the way back. I think it scrolls. But anyway, the title is Nothing That Has Happened So Far Has Been Anything We Could Control. I feel like you could have communicated that with less words, but whatever.
In the set list, it's NTHHSFHBAWC.
Oh, that is not... Okay, alright. We do those sort of things to make it simple. That is not simplifying, that's complicating.
Well, I guess they have to have something small for the... Yeah, no, they should have just said nothing.
and apparently the iTunes version has Led Zeppelin in this position, right?
Yes. Yeah, Led Zeppelin was the original.
The 10th of its 13 tracks. What, so it was a song that was just about Led Zeppelin? What was
it? It's a song. Just called, I think, Led it's Zeppelin? Called. He just called it Led Zeppelin. It's probably something like off take that he like.
Where it kind of like it's like a little like.
He found some influence in there. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit, I want to look it up.
It's good. It's really like it's a. It's actually it should have been on the album. It really should have.
Oh, okay.
It's a really good song.
I'll get back to you on that one. But which is you know interesting
cause, yeah
because in part two of this show we will be doing Led Zeppelin by Led Zeppelin
the first Led Zeppelin by Led Zeppelin album. Yeah yeah
so anyway
it's fascinating
but anyway so have I played anything from this song
no,
yet?
No
I haven't that's probably important to do all right yeah I've got, all right so I've got a little part for you from nothing that has happened so far has been anything we could control. Something I don't know
we all can right. control
yeah that's it I've missed one word all right Definitely got into the effects part of the synth.
Again, he goes into space with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, it's interesting. I mean, it's synthy as hell, so less down my alley. But
what about the drums, though?
The drums are really large. So, you know.
And they're so, like, chaotic, but somehow ordered, like...
Yeah.
He's doing the same... Because he's doing the same thing, but then he's adding fill in. It's like... But then, like, he's I don't know. I wish he would go back to this, to be honest. I wish he would go back to this.
It's almost like jammy, kind of like jazzy in parts.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of plays with, like, you know, light and dark well in terms of, like, it gets, like, real quiet towards the end.
Mm.
I think I even thought, like, oh, that the song's done,
and then it
kept playing, and I was like, "This sounds like the last song."
Come on, Kevin, we already hear it to me like this.
And then I looked down, I'm like, "Oh, it's the same song." So yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's good.
It's a good little mantra song too.
Well, that's the thing. Like some of these are more like synth heavy, and those ones are the ones which I was like, "Eh, a little bit on," but like drums, great. Yeah. Anyway.
So what we've decided.
Well, that's
today
the thing. Like,
is that Adrian doesn't like synth heavy songs.
No. It's just like there's a certain aspect to this album. I can really see how it's like really it's really good.
Mm.
It's like I can see why it would be like your favorite and stuff. It's just there's like certain elements to this album which like keep me at bay slightly, and like there's just some things in those sort of songs. So I'm just communicating. I don't think it's bad in any way. It's just like. Crazy effects and shit. I don't know. I find that stuff sometimes distracting.
Well, I the only thing I'd say to that is get really baked one time and just listen to this album. Really baked. But yeah, no, actually, no. Can I just add on top of that? That song, I used to really like that song. Now I actually do find it really distracting, but not because of the effects. I find the I don't know. He's like compressed the cymbals too hard. They're a bit too distracting to me. Okay. Like, I can hear every time they get smashed. And it's I'm not a big fan of that.
All right, we got one more song on this album. And it's called Sun's Coming Up.
And then in brackets... they're not there.
There's no brackets.
Dude. This is crazy. On the vinyl...
It's different?
Yeah, it's Sun's Coming Up and then in brackets, Lamingtons.
Really?
Yeah. I swear.
I can't help but feel that that was taken out because...
people don't know what Lamingtons
are.
Yeah, probably. But like... Yeah, that's weird. It's totally changed now on the... Wow. Okay, maybe he's gone in and actually changed it on the streaming services and stuff.
Ooh.
But yeah, I swear to God... unless this is some weird Mandela
effect. Yeah, I was about to say, this is the Mandela effect? Yeah.
I swear it used to have in brackets Lamingtons.
Nah, what are you talking about?
Nah, man.
That's a food, not a song. But anyway, I'm going to play a bit of that song right now. Piano, like, who's singing, by the way?
It's
him. That's Kevin Parker?
This is Kevin Parker.
Okay, I was about to say, because, well, it's finally, like, almost, like, effectless. Almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost effectless. I still think, like,
there's a reverb. There's a slight reverb. That's it. Yeah.
But do that more. Do that more. I like that.
This is the song where he sounds most like John Lennon as well.
Oh, also, like I think I even, like, also certain parts of the song sound like the lead singer of Jet for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, certain parts. Very certain parts.
Yeah, he somehow taps into, like, a bunch of...
I think it might just be Australian.
Maybe. Maybe. You can hear the accent occasionally, But no, in this one he sounds a lot like John Lennon. Yeah. And I think maybe the reason... Because this song, I was trying to decipher it the other day in time for this. I'm pretty sure this is, again, you know how I told you about how his dad died of cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
He talks about his, you know, 7 a.m. midnight in Dover. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like he's on tour or something, and he's like, and he's being told, like, when his dad's like, he's waiting for a call, basically. I'm pretty sure that's what it's about. Cause at the very end of this song, there's this whole, like, recording that sounds like it's from, like, a camera, like an old...
Oh,
camera.
Yeah, I did notice at the end, I'm like, Harley probably knows what that is.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's, like, an old home movie of, like, his dad and him at the beach.
Oh, okay. Sun's coming up.
Yeah, because at the very end of this album, you can hear him as a kid, I'm pretty sure, saying dad.
Ah.
Right at the end.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's really sad. It's a really sad song to end it on.
This song... Like, that after all that's come before.
Back. Well, yeah, I really like it. It's a really good movie.
Good choice.
Really good choice.
I mean, this is the sort of thing that could backfire.
Yeah. It's just like,
what? What are you talking about? But, you know, but that you know, more, all the more, good job, Kevin.
Good job, mate.
That's, you know, on that decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. And that is Lonerism.
That was Lonerism.
The album from Tame Impala, a.k.a. Kevin Parker. it's like, yep, I could see why this is the you know, the best album.
Like, for Tame Impala, like, this is when,
you know, like, as, like, with the experience of the last one, bringing in all of these new instruments and stuff, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
What he decided to do. Sometimes he took paths that, you know, might have moved away from my preferences, but
he was doing something he wanted to do.
Yeah. Which, not enough people are doing this sort of thing where they go off and just, like, make the music which they really want to hear.
Yeah.
He's really led the way, especially in, like, Australian circles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this album... I mean, think of, like, influential Australian albums from, like, you know, the past 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. This album
name
as well, like,
I
yeah, this al- like, yeah, exactly, like, yeah. And it's weird because
Powderfinger,
yeah, Powder- well, you were saying Jet as well, like,
yeah, I love me some Jet, some Wolfmother,
and but yeah, like, you're right, like, since
but,
this, like, we've
but this
had, like,
this feels extremely influential,
yeah,
like
there's so many American fans now, like, of Tame Impala, and there's so many, like, international fans, and it's weird because, like, he never saw a cent of any international sales up until this album, even after this album, I think.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, he's Good job, Kev.
Yeah, I think this like did pave the way as well for like more bedroom artists, because like you know, I remember like even after this came out, all these like, because all the hip hop people like really got into him after this, which is weird to me.
Yeah, I saw an article where it was like, why Tame Impala is hip hop's favorite band.
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know why.
And I was like,
they fucking love him. Yeah, yeah. And then like when Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, came to Perth, he was like, y'all know that y'all should be proud of Tame Impala. Like, black people fuck with Tame Impala.
Oh, as okay. In like, as yeah, in they fuck like, to
yeah, Tame Impala? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They although he said fuck with, so I think...
Oh, as in means, like they fuck, we're like, taking that from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should
yeah.
take that as a compliment.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I understand
yeah.
that. All right.
To all the Perth people. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, he's clearly been influential, like, and, you know, makes me proud to be an Australian.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, even if he's from the West.
Even if he's born in Sydney, though. Born in Sydney.
He was born in Sydney.
Yeah, he's born in Sydney.
Oh shit! I can't even claim that. All right.
And anyway. On that note,
all right. Well, thank you for giving me that album. I enjoyed it. And I'll see you on the next part of this. Listen to this.
That's all we've got time for, folks.
That's been Pirate Radio Podcast.
Pirate Radio.